Chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Sometimes the preachers say this joking, but I'm serious. I'll preach fast, you listen fast, we'll leave early. Amen. If I get the impression that you're sleeping or not paying attention, we'll start all over again. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm only 1 1/3 cups of coffee into this, so I'll probably be able to 2 or more, and there's no promises. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to begin preaching in verse 18. I'm going to talk about this for just a minute, though. In 16 and 17, there's a damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. And, you know, she's the one that's going to read your astrology and do the tarot cards and, you know, read your palm and all this stuff. And there are folks there that are, you know, she's a slave to these folks that are making money off of her. She's an employee of some people that are using this possessed woman to make money off of. And Paul comes along and she's running around behind him and mocking them. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation, at the end of verse 17. And they're mocking and making fun of, you know, and her and the devil that's in her. And she's possessed with that spirit. And in verse 18, and it says, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do not do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they speak unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now I want to notice before I get into the message a couple things here. And I'm going to say this to kind of maybe travel a little further than these verses might originally take you, but there's this woman, and she's possessed with the spirit of divination. And you notice when Paul commands the demon, the devil, to come out of the woman, it says, and he came out of her. And he came out the same hour. And you know, a lot of folks I've heard over the years, you know, blaming Eve for everything and trying to catch a break and doing what Adam did, the woman thou gavest to be with me, you know, blame everything on the wife instead of bad leadership. Amen. If Adam was a good leader, she would have known exactly what God had said. Amen. So Adam had some culpability in that too. And plus, Eve's the weaker vessel. And you notice here, here's a woman being possessed and used by a he, devil. So I think a lot of men misunderstand some things, and I'm not saying there aren't some devil women out there and some devil men out there and all that stuff. But I think a lot of women have been used and abused by he's and are put in a position where they're in a survival mode. Amen. But I say that to say this, the woman's the weaker vessel, and that vessel was overtaken by this evil spirit, and he came out the same hour. Another thing I want to notice, I'll get to the message here in a minute, but this is to preface this. I want to say in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, Paul and Silas didn't say, hey, let's sing so the prisoners pat us on the back and think we're great people. You know what they did? And look, the words matter in this book. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In their darkest hour, not at 5:45 when the sun was coming up, not at 9:15 when the sun was going down, but in the middle of the darkest part of their hour, of their night, they were praying and praising God. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. How will people know you're a Christian? When your darkest hour, when you're broken, when you have nothing left, when there's everything is gone, and you're praising God, maybe through tears, maybe with a shaky voice, maybe with only power of God. And that's where these men were. In their darkest hour, they were able to lift up Jesus Christ. You notice that this man came to them and they said, let's read verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, they weren't necessarily preaching in the prison the gospel, but they were preaching something in the prison. And I think the reason he asked, sir, what must I do to be saved, is because before they were got into the prison, they were preaching to people how to be saved. In prison, they were simply praying and praising God. They weren't preaching the gospel. We have no account of that. But they had a history of preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. And when this guy sees this miracle, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, when you've got a history of telling people about Jesus Christ, and the dark hour comes, and you're the only one with an answer, people are going to want to know how to be saved. They had a testimony of walking with Jesus Christ. They had a testimony of being a light to a lost and dying world. They had a testimony in the prison of being a light in the darkness, and that's why people went to them to find out how to be saved. If you're walking with God, people will seek you out. I'm not saying often, but occasionally it'll happen. People will ask you, hey, and they may come to you and they may say, hey, I know you're religious. Don't take offense. But just hear them out. I've had people say, hey, I know you're religious. I know you're a very religious man. And I'm like, well, turn my collar around and get my Pope hat on, amen. No, but they'll say, well, I know you're very religious sometimes. And instead of just jumping on the insult thing, going, oh, I'll say, well, I don't know about religious, but what do you need? What's going on? Well, this just happened or that just happened, and I want to know what the Bible says about this or that. I was out on the street with the street signs here 3 or 4 years ago, and a guy turned the corner real abruptly and parked and got out, and I thought, oh, it's on. It is on. They're going to have to vote me out because I'm not supposed to be a striker. I'm going to turn the other cheek once, but then it's on, amen? And he comes up to me and he says, hey, you the preacher here? I said, yeah. Yeah? Yeah? No. I said, yeah, I'm the preacher here. Pointing at the church. And he said, I said, you saved? You going to talk about Jesus Christ? And yeah, I found out the guy saved. The reason he stopped was he was having some marital problems. And he said, I've been going back and forth talking to my wife about this, talking to some other folks about this, and I've seen you out there at the sign, and I thought, surely this guy didn't get the answer. So he wanted marriage counseling out on the sidewalk. So basically, all I can do is tell him, you're an idiot, you need to lead your wife right, you know. We don't use those words, we go to the Bible, amen? The Bible says we're all sinners, and we need the guidance of Jesus Christ. You're responsible to lead your wife, you're the pastor of your house, in a sense. And she's the weaker vessel, so the liability, it's not like the FBI and the CIA where we can go, well, the other department, that comes from Genesis 3, by the way. Amen? Because the buck stops at the husband. Now, I'm not saying women aren't culpable and they don't have problems and they don't start problems, they don't become problems. But I'm saying if the man is following Jesus Christ and loving his wife as Christ loved the church, the Lord will line things out. And then it falls on the wife to fall in line with what the Lord's lined out. But you got a crazy man trying to lead a household, and how is she supposed to follow that anyway? Amen? But anyway, I say all that to say this. Here's this woman being used of the devil. The devil's cast out. A devil, anyway. And a devil's cast out. Paul and Silas deal with things the right way, and a man comes to them and says, what must I do to be saved? I want to win somebody to the Lord. Lord, please let me win somebody to the Lord. He says, walk with me. And you know what happens when you walk with... We may not get to the message. It might be the message. You know what happens when you walk with Jesus Christ? He's going to march you right past people that need to be saved and people sometimes that are looking to be saved. He's going to march you right past people sometimes that have been planted. The seed has been planted. The seed has been watered. And he's looking to you to turn them to Christ and trust him for the increase. So, well, how do I lead people to Christ? Well, walk with Christ. Amen. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing, and the opportunity came to them. We talked about a little bit ago with the car breaking down, the tow truck driver. I'm sure Paul and Silas weren't going, hooray, we're going back to jail. But they were like, yeah, this is part of the thing. You know, this is part of this life. We're going to do what's right, and if it costs us something, it costs us something. And when they got in there at the darkest part of the night, they were praising God and praying to God. You notice the order of that, verse 25? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I could imagine Paul and Silas being... We're not getting to the message. Now, what I had written down, you can just throw that away. I can imagine Paul and Silas getting in that prison and Silas going, here we go again, Paul. Look at another fine mess you got us in. And Paul saying, Lord, what's going on here? And Silas saying, well, what are we going to do? And Paul said, we're going to pray. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. It's dark in here. It's cold in here. Lonely in here. Silas has bad breath. Got our feet in the stocks here. We're bound up. Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't know how we can glorify you in this mess, but we're going to try. We're just going to praise you until you get us out of here. And if you leave us here to die, we're still going to praise you. I can imagine that prayer. And the next thing, they open their eyes, and Silas says, hey, you know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking about the whole time you were praying, I was thinking about nothing but the blood. Oh, I was thinking about, oh, how we love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Paul said, let's sing it. And they just start singing. And Paul and Silas, they're in the inner prison. They have no idea that their voices are carrying through the outward parts of the prison, and all the prisoners are hearing them sing praises to Jesus Christ and praises to God the Father. And all this is going on. Paul and Silas have no idea if they're ever getting out, no idea if they're going to be killed in there, no idea if they're going to starve to death in there, no idea if they're singing their last song, amen? But the next thing you know, the Lord opens that door and that prisoner, the prisons open up, the doors open up, the shackles fall off, you know, and the prison keeper, he comes in there and he's shaking and trembling and he says, what must I do to be saved? So you know what I imagine happened at that time? I imagine when they prayed and they praised God, there were other people in prison that had probably been in prison that they didn't even know that had been singing and praising God. And they're stuck in there because they'd witnessed about Jesus Christ and they're getting encouragement. There are probably people in there, may have been people in there, been in there for 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month. They're saying, hey, there's somebody else that believes like we believe. Isn't it good to know every once in a while? And maybe there's some folks in there going, I'm lost and on my way to hell and I got nothing. Now I'm stuck in here. I heard a preacher out on the street, and he was preaching about how to get to heaven, and I ignored him, or I was too busy, or I didn't get to get to him, or whatever, and I've just been praying, and what am I going to do? I'm stuck in here, nobody to give me the truth, and God says, watch this. Hey, Paul and Silas, I'm going to throw you in prison. And they're in prison, and they're singing praises to the Lord, and the guy's there, hey, there's the guy I was listening to. And he bows his head and calls on Jesus Christ while they're singing. I can just imagine this. And now I know this ain't in the Bible, but I don't think God put everything that happened in the Bible for a reason. And you could just imagine Paul and Silas being men, being scared, being worried, being distraught, being ready to quit. And when they prayed to God, God gave them the power and the purpose for being in prison. And they just start preaching about Jesus Christ through their song. And then here comes the prison guard. You know what happens when the prison guard gets saved? It's on. Because now you got a guy that's got a bunch of people that are a captive audience all the time. It used to be people got saved, they prayed and preached, and other people got saved, amen? So the prison guard gets saved, and he's probably going to keep his job, you know, because the Lord's blessing him, and the prisoners are all still there, and the next week he's probably preaching the gospel to everybody in that prison. And Paul and Silas are like, I don't understand this. God says, you don't have to understand it. Just walk with me through it. Amen? You look down through here and see, I'll hit the points. Verse 18, and this did she many days, this is the possessed woman. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. The proclamation they made, it was the name of Jesus Christ. What were they preaching when they were out there? They were preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. He proclaims the name of Jesus Christ, and things started to change. The proclamation they made in 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. The price they paid. When you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a cost hooked to it. Count on it. It's not always going to be something this intense or something this direct, but there's always going to be a cost down the road. When you're bragging on Jesus Christ, there's going to be some kind of pushback. There's going to be a price. There's going to be an opportunity for you to sacrifice and say, this might cost me something, but I ain't quitting. The proclamation they made, the name of Jesus Christ, the price they paid, cast in prison, beaten, ridiculed, mocked, humiliated. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. The prayer they prayed, I believe the prayers they prayed were just like we talked about earlier. Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but help us to glorify you here. We tried to glorify you out there. Now we're here. We still want to glorify you. The Savior prays. They keep praising the name of the Lord. Keep praising God through this dark time. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So we got the proclamation they made, the price they paid, the prayers they prayed, the Savior was praised, and God's power was displayed. You know what you can look at? You see that earthquake? You know what happens when an earthquake happens, when an earthquake takes place? Things move. You know what happens oftentimes, and we read the account of Jesus Christ, where the stone was rolled away in the morning? Can you imagine that earthquake and that trembling and that stone rolling off there and God the Father saying, I'm rolling that stone back to watch my son walk out of that grave? You know what I believe happened? I believe when that earthquake physically occurred, I believe the stone rolled away from some stony, hardened hearts and opened up a door of opportunity for Paul and Silas. God's power displayed. In 27 through 30, we see the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep. He comes to him And he called in verse 29, it says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You know what happened? You see the impact that was made when the power was displayed. The impact that was made is it caused the guy that had put them in the inner prison to come to them, bow down at their feet, and say, you've got an answer and I need it. Why'd they say that? Because they saw the power of God. You know what you need more than anything as a saved person? The power of God. The power of God. And you're going to get it from the Word of God, the Spirit of God, prayer to God. So the proclamation was made. There was a price paid. There were prayers prayed. The Savior was praised. God's power displayed. And an impact was made. In 31 through 33, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When all these things come together, you know what happened? People were saved. But in order for those people to be saved, Paul had to pay a price. Silas had to pay a price. Every morning, we have the opportunity to take up our cross and follow the Lord. And the most simple way to understand it is just dying to self and living for Him. When to take up the cross and follow the Lord is to say it's not about this flesh, it's about the Lord. It's not about self, it's about the Savior. It's not about me, it's about the message of Jesus Christ. And to pick that cross up and to walk toward Calvary saying, I'm dying to me, 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 and I'm living for Him. That's what Paul was able to do. That's what Silas was able to do. And the price that Jesus Christ paid so they could be in these circumstances and be used of God, and Paul's ability to lay his life down every morning and say, I'm not living for me, I'm living for the Lord. To be able in his darkest hour to sing praises to God is the reason God was able to use Paul and use Silas the way he used them. That's the way he'll use us. If you're willing to sacrifice, pay a price for following Christ, God will honor that. And I'm not saying honor that like Joel Osteen says it, and you're going to get $1 million and you're going to have a rosy day. I'm saying that you might end up in the darkest hour and still have an opportunity to pray and praise God and for Him to show His power and to see people get saved. Salvation is not a program. And salvation is not going through the steps of a program. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is not going through the steps of a program. Salvation and discipleship is in a person, Jesus Christ, and walking with that person. And being able to lay your life down every morning and say, it's not about me. It's about Him. The proclamation was made. The price was paid. The prayers were prayed. The Savior was praised. God's power was displayed. An impact on lost and saved was made. And people got saved. People were saved. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're wore out and tired. We need your strength. We need your help. We need your comfort. Lord, help this church. Bless this church in a mighty way. Lord, we'd like to see some young, fresh folks in here, some younger families, Lord, some people that are on fire for you that'll endure sound doctrine. They'll stand on truth. That'll stand for truth, that'll lay their life down and pick up their cross every day and walk with you. And Lord, people that want to grow and be more like you, help us to be like that. Send people in the way you see fit. And Lord, in the meantime, help us to end without compromise. Lord, each and every person here, you know what I'm thinking. I'm not going to say anything out loud, Lord, but you know I have people in my heart that are going through different things. And Lord, help them, strengthen them. And heal those folks that need healing physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be. We're coming to you as needy people. I want to lay these requests down at your feet, trusting you to take care of them in your will. And Lord, help us to realize there's a price that might be paid. But if we'll pray and praise your name, you'll use it to show your power and see people get saved. And we love you and thank you for everything you do. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.